Yes, Lord. All right, Lord, we thank you for another wonderful evening. Thank you for all these wonderful people from all over the globe. And we praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us. Lord, keep us in that place of holiness and perfection in you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for being our God. We love you, Lord. We ask, Father, for your grace tonight upon this whole fellowship. And the things that are needed will be done and asked and will be answered. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your gifts would be in operation always in this fellowship. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that have been answered and the ones that are going to be answered. Lord, we just thank you that we're not affected by 5G, 4G, 48G. We're under Psalm 91. Nothing like that bothers us. We praise you, Father, for your continued protection upon us, your continued provisions upon us. And Lord, we thank you that we just have to walk in you all the time. We want to be with you all the time, walk with you all the time, have your love flowing out of us, Lord, that would draw other people to the kingdom, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Boy, you better get in here. All right. Go ahead, Judy.
I would like prayer, please. I have been dealing with body aches and pains in my body for some time now, and I keep standing in faith for it, but it's been disrupting my sleep. And this morning I woke up with a backache, and I've been praying about that and trying to stretch out my back and trying to do some things and just standing in faith for everything. But it's been affecting a lot of things. I know it's witchcraft. I know it's a trial, and I know that the enemy is already defeated, but I would love for y'all to chase thousands as we come into agreement against this for me.
Amen. Well, Father, we do. We lift up Julie to you. She's not under the curse in the name of Jesus right now. The verse that's running you out of there is 1 Peter 2:24. It says, by his stripes, she's already been healed. In the name of Jesus, you go from her right now. Any kind of muscle, bone, tendons, it makes no difference. Any kind of aches and pains, go from her body right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And don't come back in Jesus' name. We thank Amen. You, Father, for a complete and whole body for Julia. We thank you, Father. She is healed, delivered, and set free. And everybody that believes that said, Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Amen. You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's already lifting off of me. Praise Amen. God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, go ahead, Missy.
I also like to come against witchcraft and yep. curses, every possible attack of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Julie's not under the curse. He became a curse for her, Lord. And she's redeemed from the curse as well as the rest of us. And I just cast on any form of witchcraft, whatever shape or form it comes from, against this whole assembly in the name of Jesus. And we forbid any operation of the enemy in our meeting. And we command all technology devices to work properly. And we forbid any attacks on that in the name of Jesus. We send confusion in the camp of the enemy, and we scatter them, Lord. And Lord, your word says, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap, Lord. So they're going to reap what they've sown. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe it. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else need prayer or got a prayer request, praise report? Anything like that? Yeah, Missy. That's two.
I have a testimony. I had something awesome happen to me yesterday. And it was so encouraging. yesterday when I went to go for my walk, I was talking to Merle, my husband, and telling him, you know, even though it was warm and there was a lot of snow mountain, I knew it wasn't going to be completely melted on the walkway in the park where I walk over to. I don't walk just there. I just do one round and then I go out and I go through the neighborhood and stuff. Anyway, I told him, I said, it wouldn't take much for them to just take a plow and go through and plow that because anyway. And he said, yeah. And I said, but then if they did that, they would have to do the big, huge park over across the way. And I was going for my walk and I was like, I wasn't going to go towards the park because they've never plowed that thing. And I thought, well, I'm just going to walk over and check, you know, because lots of times I will, you know, like sometimes I think, okay, maybe it won't be that bad. Maybe most of it will be melted and I only have a couple spots that I have to mess with slushiness or whatever. But I went and looked and I was like, oh my gosh, they actually plowed it. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You answer before we call and yet while we're speaking, you hear. I was so excited. So I called him up and I told him that, you know, the Lord answers before we call and yet while we're speaking, he hears. And he said, and I said, guess what? And he says, they plowed it. I said, yeah, they did. So I was like, I was on cloud nine. It was just like, you know, he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask for thinking. You have not because you ask not. And I had even told Merle, I had it in mind to maybe call him and say, what, could you plow that, you know, whatever. And, but I don't know, I don't distinctly remember asking the Lord, but sometimes, you know, you'll kind of be thinking about it and kind of, you know, nonchalantly, like saying, Lord, I wish that was plowed or something. You know, I don't remember distinctly asking him. I probably did because, you know, I do that, you know, I think we all do that. You know, you're kind of like, you know, thinking about it and asking the, you know, Lord, you know, whatever. But anyway, so that was such a booster. I just, you know, it was like, if the Lord will do the little things like that, how much more his promises, how much more the big things that aren't specifically mentioned in his promises, you know, but, you know, it says all things whatsoever you pray and ask, believe you have received them and you shall have them. And anyway, and that when two are in agreement on anything, it shall be done for them. But anyway, that was just so encouraging. That was such an encouragement for me. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for getting those paths cleaned out for us. Thank you, Father. Claire, did you have something you'd like to pray about? Or I saw your hand up.
You know, Michael, I have a praise report.
Okay.
So I think I've mentioned before on this fellowship and to the Lord on numerous occasions that losing stuff is not really in my sort of realm of what I consider to be a nice day. When, you know, when you've got kids, everybody who's already gone through that process will happily tell me with all the patience that the Lord wrought in them that that's what kids do. I am in that phase. And so I struggle just a little bit at times with the continuous loss of things. And last year, round about this time, I had a little issue with a number 12 from a toy clock that was missing. I think all of you will remember that. And if you don't, praise God. And so the Lord tried me throughout this year with various things. And today, my son needed his brand new scissors that I bought him, and we couldn't find them. But I saw them yesterday. We all saw them yesterday because he was using them yesterday. And I just said to the Lord, I'm like, I've been going around this mountain, but I can't change them because they're kids. Like, I'm not gonna change this. Like, and we have a really organized home. Like, it's not that I'm, you know, living in chaos or anything. Pleasant, peaceful home for the most part. And you know, and all glory to God for that. And I kept on asking the same question, like, where did you have them last? And he keeps on saying, I put them here. And I'm like, well, if you put them here, then they'd be here, but they're not here. And we went through this for about 20 minutes and I left it because I know I can get obsessive and I don't want to be obsessive. So I left it. And then about 20 minutes later, I said, okay, where do you think you put them? And anyway, this went on and on, and the girls were trying to help. And eventually I realized that the question I was asking was, and the information I was getting was not answering my questions. So we went outside to where those scissors were laid. And the whole time I said to the Lord, like just in my spirit, I said, you have got this, you have ordained this to be so, but I really don't want to go around this mountain again. And I don't want frustration to creep in, and I don't want to lose my temper. And I don't want those things. I don't accept them. I'm not going to be that person. I'm not that person. She died. She died a long time ago. So please, I don't even need to find them necessarily. I just need to not have those feelings. And we went outside and they reenacted what they were doing at the set point where the scissors no longer were evident. And my oldest daughter just walked in to the laundry and she's like, here they are. And I tell you, that is God. That is just the goodness of our Lord, that he will bring the change in us if we will let him. But it doesn't mean he's going to stop trying us to see whether we're going to come to him every time. And I'm just so grateful. And I know this sounds probably trivial, but it spoke to me in volumes today. And so when we fall and when we lose things, and we can just thank him that he's already answered our prayers and that we will overcome. And we have those scissors in a very safe place now. Until the next time. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I remember the time when David told his boys not to leave their shoes out on the back porch because the dog would get them, cart them off. And sure enough, one of the boys left their shoes out on the back porch and the dog carried them off. And so they prayed that the dog would bring them back. Sure enough, they saw that dog coming up the yard with the shoe in his mouth, dropped right on the porch. So, praise the Lord. All right, Isaac, or Mariana.
Hi, I wanted to give a praise report. The other day, y'all prayed for myself and Isaiah to get healed, and praise the Lord, we're healed. And Isaiah's been wild, his little wild self. So praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Well, anyways, the night that I was sick, the Lord had given me a dream. And in this dream, well, I'll just explain it real quick. Me and two other persons were in this cellar, like the cinder block cellar basement. The person on the left of me had a liquid in a glass. I had the same liquid in the glass. The person to the right had the same liquid. And the person on the left drank all of it. I took a sip. The person on the right took none. And then in like a retrospect vision, I could see that the liquid inside was not only clear, but like a lime, neon, yellow, thin, like a highlighter. Like you bring out a highlighter and it was in the liquid. And it was a poison. So the person on the left like doubled over immediately in like sickness and in pain. And I had taken a sip and I right away dropped my glass and said, no, I am healed. And I ran up the stairs, and to the right of the top of the stairs was a shower. And I immediately got in the shower, started washing myself. And then that was my whole dream. And that night I had really only slept like maybe 2 hours because Isaac was telling me that I was talking in my sleep. So I don't even think I slept, you know, if that. But the next day, I was still kind of feeling sickish, you know, kind of under the weather. But I was still believing and claiming that I was healed. So, but I had this, like, urge to vomit. you know, sorry, the graphic, but so I had this urge to vomit, and I was like, I'm not going to vomit because I'm healed, you know, but then I thought, well, I usually feel better after I vomit, even though my stomach wasn't upset. Sorry. So I went to the bathroom to vomit, and then I dry heaved, you know, for a while, because I hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And then I vomited out like this neon yellow liquid. It wasn't mucus. It wasn't bile. It wasn't any normal thing, you know. It was exactly like the dream the Lord has showed me before, what that poison was. So I don't know anything else besides that, but that was the dream, and then that was what happened the next day, and then here I am healed, you know. That's it.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Nothing will hurt us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. That's a wonderful story. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yes, Carol, go ahead.
Okay, I couldn't unmute. Holy hallelujah. God is awesome. So I do relate to, I went through a bit of a storm because on Tuesday, I never made it to the meeting, but I did. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. I listened to you guys. God has been waking me up at 2 a.m. Okay. Well, it could be God or could not be God, but we always pay attention to God only. And so I woke up at 2 a.m. that night, and I just felt in my spirit, I need to pray, but I'm so tired. So I just turned on the group, and I was with you guys sleeping, waking up and listening to all of the stories and the prayers. And then I was just praying with you. And I realized how amazing it is that we're recording these. I always wondered, why do we record these? So here I was having a prayer time at 2 a.m. With all of you. And so the part about asking God and about things that are lost and or losing patience when things are just not going your way, I had a lot of stuff happen on Tuesday. And what was amazing is that God, I just kept paying attention to him, taking authority over any fear and patience. And I made it through. I had three little emergencies and I made it through. I don't need to go into the details, but I pushed through each one. And I just felt that growth. And in my heart, I sense that what I'm getting more from this is this incredible love that I really wanted to just, in prayer, pour back into all of our prayers today by saying that, you know, God, I ask that that deep love that you have for each one of us, that amazing way to come and get each one of us in those moments where we think perhaps you may have dropped us because of the things that are happening with COVID and a whole bunch of other things. And that when we take a moment to just pay attention to you and not to the circumstances, not to the ridiculous threats that are coming our way right now for the non-vaccinated, especially in Quebec. Looks like we might go to jail now, by the way, just so you know, that's what our government is doing. So, but that we stop and we just turn to you. And then I thank you, Lord, that even if we wake up in the middle of the night or have a dream and green comes out of us, that is you helping us be cleansed of anything that may have come against us. That's the amazing God that you are. And I thank you. Having said this prayer, I do want to bring a praise report, as if that wasn't enough already, how good our God is and everything we've all talked about. But my little sister is still in a fight for her life. Okay. So she's really in this incredible infection. And I've been praying on when do I approach her, when do I not, because she's on the line with believing, but she's not in all in. And she has a husband who's not a believer and who's vaccinated, and he believes in aliens before he believes in God. So I called her on this day that I went through this big fight. But I still paid attention and said, Lord, what do you want me to do in that lunch during my lunch break from work? I called her, and I had not called her. I had been texting her. We've been praying for her. And when I called her, I just said, I'm just checking in. And she goes, oh, okay. And I said, how are you feeling? And she says, very weak. And I said, okay. And I felt the Holy Spirit guide me and say, first ask if she's alone. So I did, which meant her husband wasn't there, because there's that thing of, you know, when the unbeliever is around, it's no point in praying because she won't be receptive. So he wasn't there. So then I said, okay. And I said, would you like for me to pray for you? And again, it's asking permission. And she said, yes. And so I prayed for her. And when we were done praying, she says to me, I had just been asking Jesus. Sorry, I'm having a moment. I had just been asking Jesus, if you really do hear me, can you please send me a sign? And then I call her, and I hadn't spoken to her in weeks. So I was like, are you ready to receive him in your heart? She goes, oh, it's still too intense for me. I said, okay, just go to your closet, talk to him and ask him about coming into your heart. Let me know when you do that. Then we'll pray for the Holy Spirit. But I love you, and he's a gentleman. He'll never impose, but at least you know the power of his name, sister. And she said, I think I'm getting that. So there you go. That's my praise report. One baby at a time.
Amen. All right. We believe she's coming in. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Boy, I'd love to hear that from my brothers and sisters, too. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah. Debbie, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for my baby, my very first one. She's 50 years old almost, but she's had a lot of physical problems. She has a pacemaker, and she's had some strokes and just problems, you know, and she's a nurse. And but 2 weeks ago, she's told me yesterday, 2 weeks ago, she fainted. And she's by herself when she fainted. She kind of twisted her ankle on that. And, she said she sprained her ankle. But it only lasted about 10 seconds. And then it happened again. About 3 weeks later, she fainted again when she was going to give my grandson, Bradley, a hug. He's this big bear of a guy. She was going up to him, and she started feeling this feeling come on her, the same she felt when she fainted. And she said, oh, just hold on to me, Bradley. And she barely got that out of her mouth to remember him even taking her and holding on to her. But she fainted again, and she was, you know, out about 30 seconds that time. So they're running certain tests on her and everything. And she named, told me about all this stuff, which I can't repeat back to you. So I just told her we'd be praying tonight for her. And she thinks she's a Christian, but, you know, she's not walking with the Lord at all. She used to as a teenager. And so I just want to pray for Kimberly that, anyway. Yes, Lord, I just lift up Kimberly to you, Lord, and with everybody here, Lord, and ask, Father, that you would help her to call upon your name. I ask that you would just do something in her to cause her to fear you and to fear her not having a relationship with you, Lord. And I just too pray, Lord, that you would get to the bottom of what is going on with her, Lord, in your time and in your way. That you would just do the work in her that you need to do, and draw her back to you, Lord, and that you would keep her safe, Lord, and let be done what needs to be done to help her here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work yourself, Lord, and just move in her and change things in her body, and you do a wonderful miracle of healing, God. We know that you can do that, Lord, by asking you to do this, Lord, and so thank you, Father. I pray that signs will be seen of your touch and your work in her body, Lord, and that you'll be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we believe that too. We hook our faith up with Debbie and what's her name, Kimberly?
Kimberly.
Yeah, okay, Kimberly, you come on in, girl. Head first. Yes. Jesus' name. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
I'd like to pray too. Father, I thank you that we have household salvation and we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And Lord, we come together as a body and we command every evil work and assignment of the injections that people are getting and all the symptoms, all the warfare, the bio warfare and the chemicals and the poisons and things that are afflicting people's body. And we command every poison, every evil work of spike proteins and nanogens and all of the evil works of darkness that are attacking Kimberly's body and affecting her blood pressure, her health concerns. Lord, you see them and you know exactly what the root is there, but we come against these symptoms and we command every evil work of these bioweapons to be null and void. We cast it down, we cast it out. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for working in Kimberly's heart as her mom has prayed, and Lord, that you are touching her. And we thank you, Lord, for healing her, Lord. And we don't permit any more of these symptoms to manifest in her body. We pray in faith, and we know that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And give give Debbie peace, Lord, and give her rest and comfort. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Kimberly in, healing her all at the same time. It'd be a testimony to the rest of the family of your goodness and your grace, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? There's that cup. Catherine got, that's not a spot of tea, girl. That's an acre. Looks good. All right. Anyone else got a prayer or praise report or testimony? I tell you what, y'all, would y'all agree with me? Prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given every one of us the mind of Christ. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have any forgetfulness anymore. It's gone in Jesus' name. I'm not going to walk out of the kitchen with the water running. I'm not going to walk out of the kitchen with the stove going in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that I do have the mind of Christ, and I'll be very diligent in turning things off when I leave the room. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, David hollered up at me a while ago. He said, you got something you fixing to put in the oven? We ate about 2 hours ago. I said, no. He said, well, it's on 375. I said, well, maybe you need to turn it off. So I had left it on after I took the pizza out. That's okay. All right, anyone else? Yes, Julie.
Missy had her hand up first, so you go ahead, Missy.
I was just going to say, no biggie, once in the blue moon, I do something like that. I'll forget to turn the oven off. No, no condemnation. It's just the enemy messing with you. In Jesus' name, we command the enemy to go in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. We just command all spirits of confusion and forgetfulness and distractions and everything else that the enemy's thrown at us. We cast it all down in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the helmet of salvation.
Yep.
And blessing Michael's righteous head. And he is a he has a memory, and it's like a steel trap.
That's right.
Thank you, Father. He is focused and Christ-centered. Thank you, Jesus. And so are we.
Everyone else is too. Yep. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I'll take the same thing you prayed for me, Michael. I've been getting by with a little help from my friends, namely, I put timers for everything. I set a timer. Say if I'm running water somewhere, I'll set a timer, and so sometimes we'll have several timers going. Oh goodness. Let me pray for my mom. I don't want to be frivolous about it, but my mom can she can have things going on the stove, and then she'll go off and do something else, and pretty soon there's smoke going everywhere, and the stove is starting to disintegrate. I mean, not that bad. I mean, it's just the burners are all getting messed up, and Lord, I just I just thank you for what you have in store for my mom, that she can be released from all the stuff, all the oppression she's under, and that you can restore her back to what you intended for her at the beginning of time. And I thank you for, again, we're just believing for all of our family for this kind of stuff, but you'll we come against religious spirits. We come against all the blocking spirits. We come against all the stuff that's holding her back. And Lord, I thank you for giving us faith for our families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for fixing mama. Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
By the way, when I was there, I was upstairs. The bedroom I was staying in was above the kitchen. So my mother would, I was up most of the night with my dad. And then in the morning, the teapot would start going off. Now, my mom couldn't hear very well, so the teapot was a whistling teapot. So the teapot would start screaming, and pretty soon the smoke detector would go off down below because of all the steam. And then the smoke alarm upstairs where I was would go off. So it was very eventful mornings for me. Anyway, and then of course the burning and the smoke and all the other things would go on. Anyway, thanks for waiting, Claire.
I just wanted to pray. I've been listening to some teachings recently, and I've just been reminded that we are not under the law of sin and death, but we are under the law of grace and liberty, and that is higher, and that is at a molecular level. So I just like to pray for Michael and for myself and for all of us that are on this fellowship. I rebuke any symptoms of aging, at a very molecular genetic level. When we are walking with the Lord, we are renewed. Father, you say that we are renewed. We are born fresh. And I rebuke the idea that when we come into this world, we start dying. Because as soon as we get Christ, we really start living.
Yep.
And I pray that for every single one of us, that we walk in that faith daily and we manifest supple bones, beautiful glowing skin, thick hair, everything that comes with youth and vitality. Because we are free from the curse and sin and death. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like going skiing now. Let's go. All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Ray and June.
Black Diamond.
The last time I heard Malcolm speak before now, he had mentioned that his daughter had come down with COVID. I was wondering how she's doing.
She's lost her sense of taste and smell. I think they're doing quite fine. Her husband, my son-in-law, is a little bit compromised health-wise, and he's doing fine. So. You know, just a lot of stuff actually going on in the denomination that I'm praying for, believing for. For people that I know that are in there. I don't want to see the Lord pulls us out of denominations for a reason, but they're involved in the denomination. So, no, I mean, yeah, to answer the question there, I think they've recovered quite well. So, but I think typically it's not that dramatic. There's some people that do get, you know, really messed up. And, of course, if they go to the hospital, it's kind of a death decree. Oh, let me just say, by the way, I've been seeing the Stu Peters show every now and then, and they've been doing, and probably a lot of you already know this, but they're going after hospitals and doctors that are actively killing patients. And some hospitals have even hired attorneys to try to force to allow them to kill these patients. Anyway, they've raised so much ruckus that a lot of hospitals are really backing off and trying to backpedal and letting these people, these patients go, I mean, get out of there so somebody can care for them that actually doesn't want to kill them. They make, I guess, over $100,000 per person they can successfully kill. So it's there's a lot of money for these medical institutions. Of course, a lot of this comes from the administration level. So, I mean, it's really sad, but it's good. It's like the demise of the whole medical, the credibility is just dropping and tanking, which is good, I think. I'm sorry to see that so many doctors are actually willing to kill patients and don't seem to have too much remorse. But at least we're being able to see who's who.
Well, if those doctors carry the protocol of the hospital on, they get extra money also. Killers for hire,
Yeah, and Stu Peters has put out a call for other talk shows, other hosts to get on the bandwagon and start going after these because they can't handle all the thousands and thousands of people whose lives are at stake. And there's not a lot of time. Once they get them on the ventilator, there's not a lot of time before they can successfully kill them. So.
Well, it's not only the ventilator, it's that drug that they give them also. It starts with an R.
Remdesivir or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of money. And by the way, there are churches and denominations that are involved in this too.
Yep.
There's one church in particular that gets a certain amount of money, but from their tithing, and I don't want to quote the figure because I don't want to identify it too closely annually, but they're making at least 20 times as much money in Medicare payments coming in. So
I don't know why you wouldn't want to name them. A bunch of outlaws.
That's true, and I'm glad this is coming to light. But a lot of these denominations they're businesses that are the money's coming in from the government. More money's coming in from the government than is coming in on their whatever offerings and whatever else they've got coming. It's just disgusting, and that's why they're behind the mandates, because that's how you get Medicare. Push the mandate and keep getting Medicare. It makes me mad, but I want to be forgiving even to these evil people. So,
well, that's the reason for the tribulation. The Lord's going to run people out from under all these outlaws.
Yeah.
And I believe he's going to use some of this to do that as well.
So let me just ask Michael, I feel like I'm getting astray from the question about my daughter, but were you saying that they're going to go after the doctors?
Yes.
Did you mention churches also? Or it stands to reason they would too, though.
They're going to go at, but from what I've read, Malcolm, we'll just have to wait and see. But from what what I understood is they're going after the janitor. Also, I mean, they're going after everybody that's behind the killing of people in the hospitals.
Praise God.
All of them. Yeah.
There's so many
people. They're going to expose them.
There's this one lady on the Stu Peters show. I think it was last night or the night before, I think. Let me just describe this. She was telling about her husband and how she was being stonewalled and they were trying to keep him captive and until they finally got enough publicity and people started calling them that they realized they were being watched. It's always the light of you shed light on the darkness and it starts squirming. But at the very end, she said, we've got a whole bunch of people out here in the parking lot with relatives being locked in the COVID ward, and they're all in the same situation. And Stu Peter says, y'all, well, okay, we're going to get on that too. But they can't. This is multiplied many times over all across the country.
Well, there are other people. All Stu Peters is not the only one. You got Mike Adams
fighting.
You got other people fighting.
You might know, but they're actually naming names and
getting
attorneys going and getting flights for people and all that kind of stuff. So it takes a lot of money to do all that.
Yeah, it does.
Praise God. I'll get off. I'm just excited that God's bringing some light to the darkness here. So, and this is, again, this is physical stuff. I don't want to be dealing with the natural. I'm happy that God's dealing with these things in the natural, but my job is to fight in the heavenlies. So I don't want to get distracted by what my focus needs to be.
Amen. I believe that. All right. Anyone else? I was talking to somebody. I think it was, we were talking yesterday, I think, about you get on the news and you just get a bad feeling when you get to read and listen to all that garbage. And I'm with you, Malcolm. We need to back off and just pray. Forget the news, because God's the news. All right. Anyone else? Isaac, you fixing to say something? Or you just froze in time? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I don't know how long it was ago, but my bathtub wouldn't drain very well. So I decided to pray for my bathtub that it would drain. And for the last couple of times I used my bathtub doing showers and stuff, usually I would get out and it'd be like 3 inches of water in there. That's how slow the drain was. But lately, it's like less than half, like about a half an inch. So it's draining faster, and I'm just happy that like all I'm really doing is taking a brush and scrubbing it after it all dries up and sweeping it up and putting it in the garbage and just cleaning the bathtub each time. So no extra goes down the drain, but it's been a bathtub that's been like this for years. I would call the superintendent to come and unclog it, and he'd be back in another 4 or 5 months, but it wasn't working man's way. So I just said, well, that's it. You know, I'm gonna just pray about it. And I just forgot about it. And then one day I took a shower and hey, the water's gone even before I dried myself. So I want it to drain naturally, you know, like the sink, you know, and that'll be great. This has been ongoing for a few years now. And we have to just take up our sword and continue to plunder the enemy. We all have our swords raised together. We're all unity here. We're the Lord's army, and we raise our sword, the word of God, in faith, and we walk in that faith and love, and all those fruits of the Spirit. You know, if you're going to make a Christmas cake, there's got to be 9 fruits in it, and you got to eat them all. So praise God. I'm still waiting even for other things that we prayed for years, long time ago about this. And I'm just going to patiently wait for this. And calling an election, sure, for sure. It's a process of progress. Thank you, God. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. UBM Comedy Club down here in the chat room. All right. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Dave, has it slowed down in the postal business?
That's a daily, weekly thing.
Is it? Okay.
It's not the volume's normal. It's just the attendance isn't. So.
People sloughing off work, huh?
Oh, they got a lot of, you work around a lot of people, so a lot of things are always going around, and they make everybody freak out because of COVID. So everybody kind of, they back off if they think something's wrong, take some time off. So that's okay. We're playing that game. We're covering everybody.
Okay. All right, Lord, thank you for keeping everything going. Go ahead, Patrick.
I just wanted to thank the Lord generically for the spirit of forgiveness that He's given us. Father, I just ask that you would impress your desire for all to find that place of forgiveness in our families, and that you would break the bonds of fear and restriction and in anger and whatever other spirit that comes up to take its place. And Father, we thank you for your grace. And we thank you that we are saved as we continue on and walk in your grace and your power. Thank you the awareness that you are giving us, Lord, in our families. And we just, I pray for each and everyone who has family members here that is struggling with issues of forgiveness. Lord, that you would enlighten the eyes and enlarge the heart of those that are in need. Lord, that you would pursue them and that you would release them to enter into that place of safety and place of comfort and place of peace, and hand those offenses over to you and place them in your hand and let you be the judge that you are. We thank you, Lord, for the release that you're bringing to each and every one that has need. We just praise you and thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, for you have forgiven us. You made the first step to forgive us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are bearing upon our hearts, bringing us into that place to forgive all others and release all others into your hands. And we thank you for it. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for being present with us, Jesus. We just love you and we ask you to continue on and lead us and guide us by the power of your spirit within us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Ray or June.
Well, I realize that the timing is so important when the deep state is going to be known for who they are and who's involved. at the same time, I just cry out to the Father that he'll pull it all together. That it'd be pretty much around the corner, because we all know that so many people are dying needlessly because they're misinformed. And a lot of suffering is going on. And I just ask the Father for his grace. And the hope is that the timing is right around the corner. And I know the Lord, he knows best as to when it should be. So I always give it back to him, his will be done. And that, of course, reflects on the timing as well. And I seal my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Lord, we know you're going to bring them down. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for, Julie, you remember the lady Debbie that has a problem ongoing. I'd like to pray for her, and I want everyone here to believe with me. She's in some extreme pain. Her body is burning, she says, and I prayed for her this morning for the same thing, and she got some relief, but she just texted me and said she's burning again. Says it comes and goes. So we're going to pray that all for her. Father, I lift up Debbie to you. Lord, I don't know what's going on there, but I know who you are and the power that you have and the authority that you have. And I know what the word says. The word says that by his stripes she was healed already. And it also says that in Mark 11:24, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have. And it also says in John 14:14, that if we pray and ask anything in your name, we shall have. So devil, in the name of Jesus, right now, I come against you that's tormenting Debbie, and I command you by the power and authority and the blood of Jesus to leave her now. In Jesus' name, you leave her immediately. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of infirmity to go right now from her in the name of Jesus. You go from her. Now, Debbie, your body is whole in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for doing it for Deborah in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father, for her complete health in Jesus' name. I'm talking about everything, the tumor go, everything on her. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, that is done. Praise God forevermore. Now we're looking for the good testimony. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Dave.
I thought you had a really good message there Wednesday, and it deals with cleaning the inside of our cups more than anything. You know, it was very, very good path for people to follow and listen to. And so, and even for me, it's easy to have things come up in your mind and make you backpedal and make you slide backwards if you're not paying attention. And this is one of those messages Michael gave us, in a sense, to help you come forward and examine and cast down things that might be trying to overcome you in your life. So, you know, I would like to thank the Lord for being faithful for that, you know, always being there to answer those prayers and come forward and get and come in our lives when we need correction or need to be brought into a place where he can work things out of us. And I praise the Lord for his faithfulness for those things. And I'd like to give that a prayer over the body real quick on that. Lord, thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for coming around and being our God. And not just as a savior in a sense of taking care of making us, renewing us in your spirit, but also coming through and helping clean out inside what needs to be cleaned, not just the outside of the cup where people see, but also the interior where little things may be hiding and things that are lingering on in our lives. You're so faithful to bring those things and cause them to come to light. Lord, I'd like to offer you praise and thank you for your patience and for your loving kindness in order to do these things and not use it for a moment of bringing people down where they feel like there's no hope. But no, Lord, you wash them clean once they express their sorrow for any kind of thing that's in their life they want to get rid of, and they come to you and pray and ask for your forgiveness. And the sin is against you, Lord. It's not against others. It's against you because it's your holiness they're offending. But Lord, you're so gracious and you forgive all. And when you come and when you say, when we all come together and we share our fellowship with each other and we're looking for praise and for forgiveness, you're there amongst all of us to clean us up and offer us your thanks, your forgiveness. So Lord, I like to thank you for that, for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, for allowing us to come and to partake of this wonderful, wonderful love that of life we get through you, the regeneration, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism and the washing away of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful things you're doing in our lives and preparing us to become instruments that you can use, but also put on that white garment of the bride. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Lord, thank you, Father. All right. Well, it is my great honor to introduce to you the next Andrew Murray of South Africa, Mr. Joe Britt, with a word from the Lord. Go ahead, Joe.
Thanks, Michael. Before I start, I just want to share, I think it's about 6 weeks since Michael tell us about all of men to get to feel led to share on something. And I already got that idea, what do I want to share, and I was working on it. And during this time, the Lord showed me, correct me on this interfere with my normal Bible study time, my quiet time, and just to get my priority straight to what is also God's work, but it's not the closeness of a relationship you should have, but except for something else. That's all I want to share about that. But let me start on the reason why I want to do a little talk is not to teach, but to show what I have experienced, what I've learned, enjoy, and how I grew here at UBM. That's all been a grace for our Heavenly Father. What I feel led to share is my take on the death of Christ, spoken in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. I first want to pray. Father, thank you for the time we have. What I want to share, please give me a calmness and not to be anxious about what I want to say. Let it come out right and be clear what I want to say. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, a couple of verses about our Heavenly Father. In Isaiah 45, verse 11, this says, Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hand. Command to me, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the else have I commanded. Number one is in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. This says, Jehovah, heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. What manner of house will you build unto me, and what place shall be my rest? And verse 2, for all these things have my hand made, and so all these things come to be said, says Jehovah. But to this man will I look, to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. my focus point will be on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. I want to read that part of a prayer for spiritual strength. From Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, but he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, but you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is a breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, but you might be filled unto all the fullness of God, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all what we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. My main focus point to be about Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, where it mentioned a breadth, length, height, and depth. Only once in the Bible, all four measurements is used, breadth, length, height, and depth, and that's used to describe Jesus. I want to give you a couple of examples. In the Old Testament, where only the first three measurements, only the first three, breadth, length, and height, is mentioned. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 15, God tell Noah, the star thou shalt make it, the length of an ark 300 cubits, and a breadth 50 cubits, and height of it 30 cubits. And talking about the Ark of the Covenant in Exodus 25, verse 10, and they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits, and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half a breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And the last one is in First Kings chapter 6, verse 2. And the house which King Solomon built for Jehovah, but length thereof was 80, and a breadth 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. I'm coming back to this now. Let me say this first. What I'm about to mention by no means is a complete list, but I'm going to quote quite a few verses of reference with Jesus, and a word is mentioned either by name or referred to as, to get to the point I want to make. Be patient with me. Let's look in the Old Testament where Jesus or the word is mentioned in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is plural as God, that means it is the Word and God, Word and Father. And the New Testament, the reference to show this is in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was of God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 3, all things were made through him, but the Word, and without him, not anything made, but have been made. Word is also mentioned in Barak in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Barak, that's a word. His word is perfect, for all his way are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and right is he. And in Exodus 33, verse 21 to 22, and Jehovah said, behold, there is a place by me, and I shall stand upon the rock, that's a word. It shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, that's also the word. And I will cover thee with my hand that I have passed by. And then the other one is Psalm 94, verse 22. But Jehovah hath made my high tower, and my God, my rock, that's also the word of my refuge. My New Testament references of rock is in Matthew's chapter 7 and verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. That was Jesus, referred to Jesus. Another verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual rock, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. And the rock is the word of the Lord and a place of safety. And in a Book of Psalms is a prophecy from David, the psalmist, about Jesus on the cross. I quoted quite a few verses of David's book, Are You Following a Wolf, to get the understanding of it. In Psalm 22, my God, why thou forsaken me? The same word was what Jesus quoted in the New Testament in Matthew 27 and 46. In Psalm 22, verse 8, commit myself unto Jehovah, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, seeing he delight of him. But religious leaders were saying the same thing at the foot of a cross. The New Testament reference for that is in Matthew 27 and verse 43. He trusted on God, let him deliver him. Now, if he desire of him. Another one is in Psalm 22, verse 16. For the dogs have compassed me, a company of evildoers have enclosed me. I pierced my hands and my feet. So the first two also at Jesus dying on a cross. And in Psalm 22, verse 18. If I part my garments among them, and upon my venture do by lots. That New Testament, do by cast lots. As a New Testament reference is in Matthew 27:45. And when they have crucified him, they parted his garments among them, casting lots. And there's also a prophecy about Jesus as the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In Psalm 110, verse 4, Jehovah has sworn and will not repent, power of priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here is a quote from David. I'm quoting quite a lot of David for references. Every high priest ministers both beyond the veil, before God and to the people. And also an order is not just one, but it's a series. The next in the series is Jesus manifests in the body of a corporate end-time man-child who will go behind the veil, and minister to people as Moses did. My New Testament reference is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Jesus entered for us, having become high priest forever of the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus as the word as a sign, or Jesus as a sign in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, Jesus a sign, meaning something to come, and also be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. As Emmanuel in Isaiah 8, chapter 8, verse 8, and God with us in Isaiah 8, verse 10, both named reference to New Testament. In the New Testament, is Matthew 1st, chapter 1, verse 23. And in Isaiah 8, chapter 8, verse 14, a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to the both houses of Israel, but the spiritual and natural Israel. New Testament reference for that is in Romans chapter 9, verse 32 and 33, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 8. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, bound by our testimony, sealed the law of my disciples. So that was Jesus speaking. In Isaiah 8, verse 13, I and the children whom Jehovah have given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. But Jesus speaking about himself and his disciples. And the last one of that is in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus in the New Testament, I'm not going to quote all about that. We'll take the New Testament, but it's going to take the all night. But I'm only choosing a couple of verses to get to my point at the end. Jesus was born as a child in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it shall save his people from his sins. Now all verses come to pass, but it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted of God with us. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father. Full means complete and perfect of grace and truth. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming unto him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. Jesus answered Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except for one be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And also Jesus speaking in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, but he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believed on him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and my but worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And in John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In John 8, 47, he is the light of God, he is the words of God. And in John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, but they have done his life for the sheep. Jesus said also in John 12, verse 23, the hour has come, but the Son of Man should be glorified. And the Father answered in John chapter 12, 28, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And Jesus tells his disciples in John 4, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I just want to add something here that's picked up interesting. When Jesus says, I am the way, you can look at it without no going, that's external. When Jesus says, I am the truth, without the truth is no knowing, and that's internal. And lastly, when Jesus says, I am the life, without it is no growing, and that's eternal. And John chapter 12 and verse 49, for I speak not for myself, but the Father that sent me. He hath given me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus says, you shall be hated for all men, for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. My last three verses on Jesus and Jesus will be from Revelation chapter 22. Jesus said, behold, I came quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. And in Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13, behold, I came quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to each man according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. And in Revelation 22, 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. Sorry, that's a lot of verses, but I want to get to my point. I said in the beginning, my focus point is in Ephesians 3 and verse 18, where the measurements, breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ. I have to look at the depth in the Bible. The reference and it means it's a pathos, it's a mystery. And I look up the word mystery in the Bible also, but the word mystery is only mentioned in the Bible in the New Testament. And that means mysterion, that's a hidden thing. And I look at the word secret. It's used in the Old and New Testament. That means the same as mystery as hide. You can also see in the Old Testament, God chooses whom he wants to reveal his secrets. Here is a good example about Daniel interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, of a truth, your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, seeing that I have been able to reveal his secret. There's a couple of verses where the word mystery has been used, but with death goes to mystery. In Mark chapter 4, verse 11, Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, the 12 disciples, is given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them, that are without, all things are done in parables. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it hath now been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And then one last one on that. As you can see, Jesus revealed this mystery only to his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 21 to 24. In the same hour, he rejoiced in our Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that by thou that eyes these things from the wise and understanding, and did reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for it was so well pleasing in thy sight. All things have been delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth who the Son is, save the Father, and who the Father is, save the Son. And he, to whosoever the Son willeth to reveal him, and turning to his disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see, for I say unto you that many prophets and kings desire to see the things that you see, and saw them not, and to hear the things that you hear, and them not. Basically, a short summary of what I put about mentioning the Old Testament, the news about Jesus things, just to get to the quote. In a short summary, I mentioned here in the Old Testament, we see in the heavens and earth were created through the word in Genesis 1, in Deuteronomy 32, Exodus 33, and Psalm 43, the rock is the word of the Lord and place of safety. In Isaiah chapter 18, verse 14, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to both houses of Israel. In a psalm, the book of Psalms 22 is a prophecy about Jesus on the cross, and in Psalms 110, a prophecy about Jesus as a high priest forever after all the Melchizedek. And in Isaiah chapter 7 and 8, they refer to Jesus as a sign, and in chapter 8, verse 8, as Emmanuel, and in verse 10, God is with us. And in the New Testament, John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and Jesus speaking in Revelation, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last and beginning and end. I mentioned in the beginning, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 15, the length, the breadth, and the height of Noah's ark. When you add the depth of mystery, you translate from a letter to the spiritual. Here's a quote from David in Genesis 8. But Noah found favor, grace in the eyes of Jehovah. That means he did not earn or merit God's salvation. It's only those who have found grace through faith and are bringing forth the fruit that are building the ark of Jesus. As with Noah, the righteous among God's people will abide in the ark of Christ in order to be preserved from the wrath. First this learns in chapter 5 and verse 9. For God appointed us not to wrath, us not unto wrath, but into the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also mentioned the measurements about the Ark of the Covenant in Exodus 25, verse 10. When you add the Ephesian mystery, you translate from the letter to the spiritual. There's another quote from David about the spiritual Ark of the Covenant. He starts with verse in Joshua chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into the Jordan. When he says in Joshua, the Ark of the Covenant was to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land first. What does that sound like? The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Ark of the Covenant. He was the one in the presence of God lived. Yeah. And in the last one, in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 2, mentioned the length of the height of the house, which King Solomon built for Jehovah. When you add mystery or depth of that, you translate from the letter to the spiritual. Here's another quote from David. In the former reign, Jesus, a man child, laid the foundation of a former glory house. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For another foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So also in the latter reign, Jesus in the man child and Ark of the Covenant will lay the foundation of a latter greater glory house. It's understandable to see where is so many denominations, where so many denominations. There is so much to choose from if you want to make your own doctrine. You only have to see what's the breadth, length, and height of Jesus. In other words, what's on the surface. You have to add the mystery, the death of Christ, to get the complete picture. A few verses to remember what for me was important to remember when studying the word is 1 Corinthians, not chapter 4, verse 6, not to go beyond the things that are written. In Revelation 22, 18 and 19, if any man should add unto him, God shall add to him the plagues, sorry, which are written in this book. And Revelation 22, 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of prophecy, God shall take away the spot from the tree of life. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, by which spirit teaches, combining spiritual things, spiritual words. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack of wisdom, let him ask of God. And Psalms 119, verse 160, the sum of my word is true, and every one of our righteous ordinance endureth forever. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, do not cease to pray and make requests for you, but you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 2, after hearing, have to be united by faith for him that hurts. In Isaiah 28, verse 10, it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, very little, very little. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till all the heaven pass away, one jot or one tittle shall no way pass away from the law, till all shall be accomplished. And in Exodus chapter 6, verse 14, chapter 16, verse 4, was, all people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. To finish in John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. But as for you, the anointing which you receive of him abideth in you, and you need not that anyone teaches you. That's the knowledge of it. My last quote from David about the word, and I cannot say it's better, is when he came. It's the title. Plus, disciples are a New Testament priest and they offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Says 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Jesus says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, that he sacrifice self, take up his cross to be sacrificed on, and follow me. Whoever shall have, would have saved his life shall lose it. And whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's in Matthew chapter 16, 24 and 5. Self, the flesh, the beast must be sacrificed to have life. This is what Jesus died for, to enable us to die to sin and to live in him. That's in Romans chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Baptism is an act of faith that recognizes what is done, and the rest of our life is to manifest this by letting the water of the word, what Ephesians 5, verse 26, put to death your old life, our old life. In 1 John 3:16, hereby we know love because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for a brethren. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 teaches us to imitate the Lord and to give up self. That the flesh is offering to God for an odor of sweet smell, that's burning, burnt offering. We are partakers of Christ's suffering when we obediently go through the fiery trial and the flesh burns up, leaving only the glory of Christ. That's in 1 Peter 10, chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. If you're opening up, please, you see. The verse will be sanctified in the same way as in Hebrews 12, verse 24. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God has given us a responsibility and ability as priests to make the offering of faith, having therefore his promises. Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and self. Flesh itself and spirit as evil spirits, perfecting our life in the fear of God. As 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and 1. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, to him that let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips to make confession to his name. The meek shall hear and be glad. Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. Hosea chapter 14 and 20, 14 and 2. Teach us to render as bullocks the offerings of our lips. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. So we must hold fast our confession to give him a sacrifice. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 22, Jesus said, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, whom shall I deny before men? Him will I also deny before my Father and the angels, as in Luke 12, verse 9, who is in heaven. The Greek word here is confessus homologeo, which means to speak the same as. If you speak what he spoke, you have a sacrifice. Those who shall speak the oracles of God. Notice, to not confess me is to deny me. If you deny him, he will deny us. For by thy word I shall be justified, accounted righteous, and by the words I shall condemn, as Matthew 12, verse 37. Our confession brings God's salvation in Romans 10, verse 10, and into our souls and into our body in 1 Peter 2, 24, and into our circumstances in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And he's not going to make a third covenant with Jews, because covenant is eternal. So the physical sacrifices are abominations to God, that's in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3 and 4. Let me say this before I close in prayer. What helped me over the years is tremendously, was to get a better understanding of the complete picture of death of Christ in the Word, which is a teaching what David have on UPM website, as principles for rightly dividing the word of the covenants. That's awesome. I think that's it. I just close in prayer. Father, you're such an awesome God. We love you, praise you. Thank you for your first loving us. Thank you for choosing us. We got nothing to offer except for Christ in us that you already gave us as a gift. Thank you for your love, your kindness. Thank you for the time that we have in my living. Please bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Claire, I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you translate?
We could have done a paragraph by paragraph. I mean, I could make notes. I thought, if you like, I can transcribe it afterwards.
No, that's okay.
I can tell you the gist of it, but that would just be from what the Lord revealed to me.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, if we look, what I understand that Joe said, I'm sweating, Michael.
Okay.
That, because I think this is really important. He read Ephesians 3, verse 18. And that says that we may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled unto all the fullness of God. So that is the topic, I think. And then Joe described how he went and looked to see where in the Bible those four dimensions are mentioned. And he used Old Testament, and I started writing them, and then you had so many, Joe, that I couldn't keep up writing them all. but he went through the Ark and the Ark of the Covenant, and then he spoke about Jesus being the rock from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and what the mystery is. What is the mystery? The mystery, he read in Ephesians 3 verse 4, I think. Whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not known unto the sons of men, as it hath now been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And he says that that word mystery is very important. And the mystery is that it's in this, these things are now fulfilled in the Spirit, and the Lord no longer requires a physical sacrifice as in the old days, the Old Testament, but requires us to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable and pleasing unto the Lord. And that is the mystery. And he says that is where a lot of the denominations get it wrong, because they rely on portions of scripture or elevate portions of scripture and do not look at the whole word. And he says what's helped him the most out of his years reading the UBM website is understanding the big picture and the complete picture of what Christ has offered and done. And that is what we will be doing, and that is what is required of us.
Amen. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Rion. You may have to add some, but I don't know.
Can you hear me okay?
No.
No, you can't?
I can hear you. I could hear you when you had your earbuds in.
But it was way low.
It was low. I just have to turn the volume up. Go ahead.
No.
Oh, we lost you there. Put your earbuds, yeah.
Edwin's coming to help.
Is there a mute thing on your headset?
I can tell you one thing. I'm going to do is download the recording, and then as I play it back, I can pause it at the text and look them up so I can follow along. That's a really nice thing about these recordings.
Okay.
How's that?
That's a lot better, Edwin.
All right. It's like we never moved. Look, we could be brothers.
Amen. That's right.
Well, we are brothers. okay, so I have a question for Joe, and it might clarify something. And if I heard correctly, Joe, you said you gave a whole bunch of examples of the width, height, breadth, dimensions that you found in the word, but there was only one dimensional reference that had depth in as well, and that's what you were referring to. So you were talking about, and then did you say that depth? The word there is mystery.
Yeah.
And so I think that's profound, because it means, and what you said then is that all these other denominations and what you were talking about, they only refer to they only look at the three dimensions, but they forget the depth of Christ, which is the mystery. And then the word talks about the mystery that has been revealed to all of us in here in this fellowship as well, and to David over the years. The mystery is Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. which is what they forget. So that's awesome. So it's depth, which I find interesting. And please, I mean this in the nicest way. When you say depth, it sounds like death or death, right? And but it's the same thing. That's actually pretty cool. So that's what I wanted to share. So thank you for that. It's like being washed with the word so much. Thanks for that, Joe. No, does that make sense, Michael?
Yes, it does. Oh, it's in English.
You know, if I can just intercede here for 1 second, every reference in my concordance for the word mystery are all in the New Testament.
That's what Joe said. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good deal. All right. Isaac, did you want to share something or?
No, I was just going to thank Joe. You know, Joe's always been a blessing to me. I've always learned so much. And, you know, and I really think they summed it up really well. I was just going to say that that really, because he's talking about Christ being the rock, and being, and this is probably rudimentary, hang with me as I try to explain it, but, you know, he's the foundation. You know, and is our foundation. Okay. And, you know, and I know Paul talked in the word about the body for the Lord and the Lord's for the body. And just kind of going on what Joe said, breath, what is it? The right there, the breadth, length, the height, and the depth. Yeah. And it kind of just, you know, dawns on me more about the foundation and what Christ did and what and then it's all about him from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And it's funny that you even talked about the rock like that. And I'll just say this, Joe, because that's probably pretty good timing, I'd say. And I really mean it. I literally just had a really great dream, man. And I'm not gonna go into it. But I just had a really great dream about a foundation of a rock in the middle of the ocean. Literally in the middle of the ocean, and there was a house with a foundation of a rock holding it up. And I just, when I listened to you, I was like, man, perfect timing. So, hey, really appreciate it.
Amen. Yeah, it was. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Oh, Michael, I already said what I was going to say.
Okay.
About going back and listening to the recording. I'm looking forward to that, but I also picked up quite a bit as well when Joe was talking.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, so to get back to these dimensions, there you can have dimensions that are not with Christ in some of these verses. For instance, in Romans 8 and the last two verses, but in all these, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded, and this is Paul is persuaded in this, as we all should, what's good enough for Paul is good enough for us, that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So that depth, which was the mystery, there is a mystery of iniquity written in the Bible too. So there is an antichrist opposite to this, but I don't know if he has height, width, length, and depth. Every word that would be antichrist is easy for a person who is in Christ to discern that something has been told to him that is not right. You know, and you can visibly see this in the nations in religions and denominations and even with your regular conversation with people you know that are not saved, and you come against an adversary in your prayer life and not against flesh and blood. So just to, so that people would know there's actually a flip side to all of this, because they just want to tear down all of Jesus's word in on the other side, and that's something you have to be aware of also. So this is why we study the Lord more than the other side, just making that reference for you. So when they have something wrong, you know, the Lord's going to warn you for sure, because he sends your the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you all things and remind you of everything he taught you. And I enjoyed just listening to all the verses. I felt that as if a sword was going out and devouring the enemy. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Patrick. Thank you, Andrew.
Trying to find my mute button. So, Joe, thank you, Joe. That was good. You definitely covered a lot of ground, and I was trying to write some of the stuff down. I just finally had to stop and listen. You mentioned what was something I thought was kind of interesting, and I think you started with it, and it's this word for mystery, and I looked up that word, and Strong's, it means to shut the mouth, a secret or mystery, to shut the mouth, and I thought of Job, and I think you mentioned something in Job, did you not, related to that?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I was frantically tracking with you there. So, but I was thinking of that to shut the mouth, and I was thinking of the last chapters of Job, where I think God went through like 6 or 8 chapters, just spewing out the various different things, and literally shutting Job's mouth. And I guess I'm trying to connect that humbling or that awesome reaction or response of God talking to you directly like that, and setting you in your place, yet not destroying you. And I'm thinking back at the word that you're talking about there in John, or actually maybe it was the first thing you started with. Ephesians. So, no, I'm sorry. It was, I'm tracking back up here. You talked about Jesus being the way, the truth, the life. Can you remind me, what did you say specifically about that? You said something specifically about the way and the truth and the life there.
What I've picked up over the years is, I'm not sure where I heard this, but I'll say this again. Let me say something here. When Jesus says, I am the way, that's peace. Without, there's no going. That's external. When Jesus says, I am the truth, without, there's no knowing. When internal,
but internal. And last time Jesus says, I am the life. Without life, there's no growing and much internal. That the part you're referring to.
It was, yes. And I was thinking of, because I've thought about that in the same, this kind of the same way, in that Jesus, that way, the truth, and the life, it's kind of, he is the way. Well, I don't remember exactly what I was thinking about it right now, but so I'm going to ignore it. But I guess what the how it's hitting me is that the Lord has been showing me about his love for us, and that love that he's placed in our heart. And I think I'm speaking in reference to the mystery, and that desire that he's placed in our heart. I think you also passed through Emmanuel, the verses on Emmanuel and God being with us, and that mystery of God being with us and his love being transferred into our heart, which is the motivation. And I want to think of that love being transferred into our heart. I think of that desire that it puts within us to want to be with him and to be in his presence, and that the drawing factor of that, that is the very motivation that keeps us pushing through the tribulations and the trials and everything that we go through, as a way of cleansing us. But it's that drawing power of his love, the mystery of that, of the desire to be in his presence, that keeps pulling us like wind in our sails. It just keeps pulling us toward him and allows us to blast through the storms of life and whatever it would be. And so I might be rambling, but I think I'm going to have to, with Malcolm, go back through and pause some things and think of what you're saying there. But it was good, very good. I appreciate it.
Michael?
Yes, Joe.
Can I just say two things quickly?
For sure.
Claire, that was a beautiful summary of my things. It's good to hear. And other thing is, I got everything I said, it's on the notes, because it took me quite a few weeks to work on this. So I can send it to Michael, whoever wants some. On that, you can just ask Michael to send it to you.
You send them to me and I'll send them out.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay, anyone else?
Bravo, that's a great idea.
Okay. Yes, Andrew.
Yeah, I actually, when Pyatt was talking about the way, the truth, and the life there, and you mentioned the external, the internal, and the eternal, I was recalling something in Ephesians 4:4, where it describes God as the last one, because it goes through the seven ones there. And it says in 4:4 that there's one God and Father who is over all, which would be the external, in all, and through all. So the in all would be the internal truth. and the through all would be the life of God through us, because we are to emulate the Son of God, who is the name called the Word of God. So he wouldn't say that we were one only with the Lord, as it says there in the fourth one, but also one with God. So I just like that reference of the external, internal, and eternal life. So it's, I think it kind of parallels with that verse in 4:4 about God the Father being one with us. Praise God.
Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I just remembered the, as I was thinking about that, John 14:6, where it says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And I just thought of, jumps back to what he was talking about with Nicodemus, that you must be born again and, or born from above. And he gives us there that, like, the transition or the process. In other words, the very first thing is finding Jesus, the way, and giving ourselves over to him and his way. And in that process, he then gives us the truth. And as we then obviously walk in that truth, him being the example and the standard, and walking in that truth, even through our failure and our successes, school of hard knocks or whatever you want to put it, we have the example of Jesus. And if the truth that we're dealing with, or that we have up to that point, is not making it happen, or you know, Jesus' example there in our life of the way continues to pull us through and draw us until we harmonize with the particular truth that he's trying to get through to us. And once we apprehend that truth or the mystery, then we partake of that life or the fruit of that truth. And so it's first Jesus and hanging on to Jesus no matter what, through whatever tribulation, or and then following that truth and going wherever it leads us, and receiving the life as a result of that process. So anyway, I guess that's all.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, next Thursday it will be praise time. We'll be singing our songs and dancing. And then the following week, I think Greg is up. And then Isaac. Okay. Got a great lineup. That was good, Joe. I'm understanding a little bit more of what you said. Okay, anybody else?
Michael, were you going to send out that list that of the Thursday list of
I was
schedule?
I am. I've been real busy here recently, and that's my excuse. But I will get it out. I'm going to make a note right now. Okay. Anybody else? Any prayer needs before we close out? No, you can't do that, Greg.
Carol's got her hand raised.
No, you can't do that. Go ahead, Carol.
I think I'm truly blessed with that as well. The way, just listening to everybody and the teaching tonight. I was looking at the question before that, and the disciple goes, but you know, Thomas says, you know, in different versions I was looking at, but Lord, we don't even know where you are going. How can we know the way? And I really think that is the an anointed or the manna for this time, because there's so much going on. It's a wonderful reminder to stop and say, what's the way? And that gives us that opportunity to become very aware of the truth, which leads us right to the life that we need for right now. It pulls us out of the natural and propels us into the supernatural, into the presence of the Lord. And from that place, we're amazing weapons with him. So thank you, all of you, and Joe, for that. That's really, I'm gonna wrap myself in that one tonight for sure. And if God wakes me up at 2, well, I know what I'll be thinking at 2 a.m. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another great night. We thank you, Father, for answering all of our prayers. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that Debbie's healed. And everyone else that we pray for is healed also. In Jesus' name. And all the other prayers were answered as well. Father, we thank you for bringing down the faction, the witchcraft that's coming against your people. We bind it up and cast it out right back where it came from. And Father, we thank you for protecting your people from all of the witchcraft going on now. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state as well. I know that you're doing it. Lord, you told us that you're going to send Trump back in there, and we believe that's when it's going to happen, Lord. And we thank you for that as well. Lord, we hear all kinds of rumors and things happening out all around us, but Lord, the biggest happening is you, and that's why we need to keep our eyes on you, Lord. And we praise you and we glorify you for putting it in our hearts to do just that, Lord, to run after you with all of our heart and let our flesh go to the wayside. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing everything that needs to be done in each and every one of us before this great happening happens. And we thank you, Lord, that we know that you're going to have us all ready for the bride when that time comes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Joe sent them to me, so I'll try to send them out tonight, the notes and the list.
Michael, may I be so bold and add one other prayer?
Well, sure, yeah, prayer, go right ahead.
I just want to add that God, you've been really putting on my heart the Sauls of this world, that mm-hmm. you would strike them as you struck Saul, and they would become Pauls. We need that now, Lord, and I thank you. I thank you for that transformation. Our leaders that are being Sauls, you will be turning them into Pauls. In Amen. Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for getting the man child ready to come on the scene. In Jesus' name. All right. Good night, y'all. Bless you.